After 3 days of waiting in Shelby, Montana, I attempted another shot at crossing the border, and I didn't turn Stan Rogers on yet. I went silently through the American side, where they made me wait for an hour as they went through my papers. We never said a word to each other this time. They handed the papers back, and I was free to go. I remember vividly those first few minutes driving away from the border, a great sense of relief, followed by an overwhelming sense of displacement. I looked around me at the hills of sweet grass and the few farmhouses in the distance and felt a great emptiness and void. None of it meant anything to me. I had no history with this place. What happened here, who these people were, where they came from, how they fit into history, all of Canadian history was a blank slate. I had driven into that pink space above the grade school maps of the U.S., a place with no names. I also felt a huge door shut between me and the U.S. And for the first time, I felt cut off from my parents. I knew what they'd been feeling, and I had serious misgivings about having crossed the border, as if I couldn't take it back what I'd done. It was so difficult getting through, I couldn't easily change my plans now. I'd passed the point of no return. And Canada did not seem welcoming at that moment. It seemed quiet and empty and alien.
Armstrong is on the moon. Neil Armstrong, 38-year-old American, standing on the surface of the moon on this July 20th, 1969.
And one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
My first stop in Canada would be with friends in Calgary. I had met a science fiction writing group back in 2005. Back then, Brian Hades had published my first story in Tesseract's Nine, and I got to spend time with a great crowd of sci-fi fantasy writers in Edmonton and Calgary. I stayed in Calgary with Kirsten and her sister for a few days. In a sense, I was recovering from breaking through the border, and in another, I was looking for my bearings in a strange place. Oddly enough, Lower Alberta is filled with lots of American nostalgia, particularly if you are a science fiction fan. At least it was that week. Kirsten and I headed off for Vulcan, Alberta, where there's a replica of the USS Enterprise, and a room where we took pictures of ourselves in Star Trek clothing. We played games and had lunch at the Enterprise Cafe. It's not an elaborate park, nothing to spend 2 days for, but it was good for an afternoon. We also went to the Glenbow and discovered the Shatner Show was still on. Artists had gotten together to paint many versions of William Shatner. My favorite is an artist who screen printed what seems to be a page from an old children's textbook. It shows Captain Kirk, on horseback, asking directions to the Yukon from a prospector. Kirsten worked as an editor for Robert Sawyer Books, and so knew the man well enough to ask him if he was interested in going to the Royal Tyrrell Museum. Was he interested? Yes. In fact, he wanted to give us a tour of the place. Robert Sawyer is one of the most well-known science fiction writers in Canada. He may also be one of the coolest tour guides for the Tyrrell, known for its large collection of dinosaur skeletons. There's nothing like getting your Paleozoic history straight from a science fiction writer. We found ourselves walking through an amazing diorama of life millions of years ago, as the museum encouraged us to walk both above and within the famous Burgess Shale, its tiny creatures preserved by the rock, their larger-than-life representations like an aquarium around us. In this museum of prehistoric Alberta, everyone was an immigrant walking through a new world. One afternoon as I was walking home from the bus stop, I met Elsie outside her home raking leaves. I asked her if I could offer her a hand, and she was shocked and skeptical. She handed me the rake. She'd immigrated from Germany in 1956 with her husband Eric, who had died 4 years ago. They were told that Canada was full of jobs and wanted immigrants, only to find that no one knew what jobs they might be talking about. Finally, Eric was told to take the bus to the edge of town and walk for 20 minutes past the bus stop to find a German contractor who gave him a job. It was rough at first, Elsie said. They almost went back to Germany. I won't turn around, Eric told her. To do that would be to admit failure. So they stayed and toughed it out. She encouraged me, told me that it would be hard. She offered me a room in her basement, saying she wanted a responsible tenant to do yard work around the house and to keep her company. I knew she was trying to help my transition by giving me a place to stay and a job. I told her I was heading north to the Yukon, that I had high hopes of a job there and an apartment waiting for me. She looked disappointed, but smiled and asked that if I met someone I thought was responsible, to send them her way. Long before I started my trip, I'd made plans to see the Quilt of Belonging at the Glimbo Museum. The quilt had a square for each immigrant nation that made up Canada. I was determined to find my square and maybe in the process find my place in Canada. The museum guards wouldn't let us take a picture of the quilt, as it was copyright infringement. I think the museum was there for the objects and didn't really understand why immigrants might come and journey to find this quilt. I did find my square in the quilt. A log cabin square, one of the simplest, oldest, most basic designs in red, white, and blue. Kirsten and I spent most of our time watching Battlestar Galactica at her house. And slowly, I think I understood where my place was. Where I was for that week was entrenched in science fiction. The genre I wanted to write within, the people I wanted to hang around, that was the literal quilt of belonging that met me at the border and wrapped around my shoulders. Science fiction is a good place to start when you felt out of place in a new country. Sci-fi readers know exactly how to entertain aliens.